Thank you for calling the Dial a Story Hotline. An excerpt from Right Ho G's by P.G. Wodehouse. It was while I was at the flat, toweling the torso after a much-needed rinse, that Jeeves, as we chatted of this and that, picking up the threads, as it were, suddenly brought the name of Gussie Finknottle into the conversation. As I recall it, the dialogue ran something as follows. Well, Jeeves, here we are, what?
Yes, sir?
I mean to say, home again.
Precisely, sir.
Seems ages since I went away.
Yes, sir.
Have a good time at the Ascot?
Most agreeable, sir.
Win anything?
Quite a satisfactory sum. Thank you, sir.
Good. Well, Jeeves, what news on the Rialto? Anybody phoning or calling or anything during my absence?
Mr. Finknottle, sir, has been a frequent caller.
I stared. Indeed, it would not be too much to say that I gaped. Mr. Finknottle?
Yes, sir.
You don't mean Mr. Finknottle?
Yes, sir.
But Mr. Finknottle's not in London.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm blowed. And I tell you why I was blowed. I found it scarcely possible to give credence to his statement. This Finknottle, you see, was one of those freaks you come across from time to time during life's journey who can't stand London. He lived year in and year out covered with moss in a remote village down in Lincolnshire, never coming up to Eton or Harrow Match. And when I asked him once if he didn't find the time to hang a bit heavy on his hands, he said no, because he had a pond in his garden and studied the habits of newts. I couldn't imagine what could have brought the chap to the great city. I would have been prepared to bet that as long as the supply of newts didn't give out, nothing could have shifted him from that village of his. Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
You got the name correctly, Finknottle.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's a most extraordinary thing. It must have been 5 years since he was in London. He makes no secret of the fact this place gives him the pip. Until now, he's always stayed glued to the country, completely surrounded by newts.
Sir?
Newts, Jeeves. Mr. Finknottle has a strong newt complex. You must have heard of newts. Those little sort of lizard things that charge about in ponds.
Oh, yes, sir. The aquatic members of the family Salamandrae, which constitute the genus Mulgae.
That's right. Well, Gussie has always been a slave to them. He used to keep them in school.
I believe young gentlemen frequently do, sir.
He kept them in a study in a kind of glass tank arrangement. And pretty nifty the whole thing was, I recall. Suppose one ought to have been able to see what the end would have even been then. But you know what boys are. Careless, heedless, busy about their own affairs. We scarcely gave this kink in Gussie's character a thought. We may have exchanged an occasional remark about it, taking all sorts to make the world, but nothing more. You can guess the sequel. The trouble spread.
Indeed, sir.
Absolutely, Jeeves. The craving grew upon him. The newts got him. Arriving at the man's estate, he retired to the depths of the country and gave his life up to those dumb chums. I suppose he used to tell himself that he could take them or leave them alone, and then found too late that he couldn't.
It is often the way, sir.
Too true, Jeeves. At any rate, for the last 5 years, he's been living at that place of his down in Lincolnshire, as confirmed a species-shunning hermit as ever put fresh water in the tank every second day and refused to see a soul. That's why I was so amazed when you told me he's suddenly risen to the surface like this. I still can't believe it. I'm inclined to think that there must be some mistake, and that this bird who has been calling here is some different variety of Finknottle. The chap I know wears horn-rimmed spectacles and has the face like a fish. How does that check up with your data?
The gentleman who came to the flat wore horn-rimmed spectacles, sir.
And looked like something on a slab?
Possibly. There was a certain suggestion of this piscine, sir.
Then it must be Gussie, I suppose. But what on earth can have brought him up to London?
I'm in no position to explain that, sir. Mr. Finknottle confided to me his motive in visiting the metropolis. He came because a young lady is here.
Young lady?
Yes, sir.
You don't mean he's in love?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm dashed. I'm really dashed. I'm positively am dashed, Jeeves. And I was too. I mean to say, a joke's a joke, but there are limits. Then I found my mind turning to another aspect of this rummy affair, conceding the fact that Gussie Finknottle, against all the ruling of the form book, might have fallen in love. Why should he have been haunting my flat like this? No doubt the occasion was one of those when a fellow needs a friend, but I couldn't see what had made him pick on me. It wasn't as if he and I were any way bosom. We had seen a lot of each other at one time, of course, but in those last 2 years, I hadn't had so much of a postcard from the man. I put this all to Jeeves. Odd his coming to see me. Still, if he did, he did. No argument about that. It must have been a nasty jar for the poor parisher when he found I wasn't here.
No, sir. Mr. Finknottle did not call to see you, sir.
Pull yourself together, G. You just told that this is what he has been doing, and assiduously at that.
It was I with whom he was desirous of establishing communication, sir.
You? But I didn't know you've ever met him.
I had not had the pleasure until he called here, sir. But it appears that Mr. Sipperly, a fellow student of whom Mr. Finknottle had been at the university, recommended him to place his affairs in my hands.
The mystery had conked. I saw all. As I dare say you know, Jesus' reputation as a counselor had been long established amongst the cognoscenti, and the first move of any of my little circle on discovering themselves in any form of soup is always to roll round and put the thing up to him. And when he's got A out of a bad spot, A puts B on to him. And then, when he has fixed up BB, sends C along, and so on, if you get my drift, and so forth. That's how these big consulting practices like Jeeves grow. Old Sippy, I knew, had been deeply embarrassed by the man's efforts on his behalf at the time when he was trying to get established to Elizabeth Moon. So it was not to be wondered at that he should have advised Gussie to apply. Pure routine, you might say. Oh, you're acting for him, are you?
Yes, sir.
Now I follow. Now I understand. And what is Gussie's trouble?
Oddly enough, sir, precisely the same as that of Mr. Sipperly, when I was enabled to be of assistance to him. No doubt you recall Mr. Sipperly's predicament, sir. Deeply attached to Miss Moon, he suffered from a rooted diffidence which made it impossible for him to speak.
I nodded. I remember. Yes, I recall the Sipperly case. He couldn't bring himself to the scratch. A marked coldness of feet, was there not? I recollect you saying he was letting something do something? Cat's entered into it, if I'm not mistaken.
Letting, I dare not wait upon. I would, sir.
That's right. But how about the cats?
Like the poor cat is the adage, sir.
Exactly. It beats me how you think these things up, oh. And Gussie, you say, is in the same posish.
Yes, sir. Each time he endeavors to formulate a proposal of marriage, his courage fails him.
And yet, if he wants this female to be his wife, he's got to say so. What? I mean only civil to mention it.
Precisely, sir.
I mused. Well, I suppose it was inevitable, Jeeves. I wouldn't have thought this Finknottle would ever fall in victim to the divine P, but if he has, no wonder he finds it going sticky.
Yes, sir.
Look at the life he's led.
Yes, sir.
I don't suppose he's spoken to a girl for years. What a lesson this is to us, Jeeves, not to shut ourselves up in some country house and stare into glass tanks. You can't be the dominant male if you do that sort of thing. In this life, you can choose between two courses. You can either shut yourself up in a country house and stare into tanks, or you can be a dasher with the sex. Can't do both.
No, sir.
That was an excerpt from Right Ho Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. For previous dialogue stories, visit the archive at kirkwoodpubliclibrary.org.